Making After School Cool.
Welcome to the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those who are interested in the activities you are involved with during non-school hours. The Making After School Cool podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education, and I'm your host, Mike Wilson. Today's topic focuses on the different types of staffing for after-school programs. Initially, after-school programs were in the forms of clubs, scouting, and youth athletic teams. Then in the 1990s, after-school programs started being offered on the school campus. Now, after-school programs are multifaceted and go beyond just homework help, free play, or a specific skill. In most cases, school-based after-school programs hire school staff or college students to operate their after-school programs. Now there are companies which can bring after-school staff and services directly to the school campus or youth servicing organization. For example, Champions Before and After School programs partner with principals, teachers, and parents to create more than 600 before and after school programs year-round. Champions is backed by the resources and expertise of one of the world's largest education companies, KinderCare. And with more than 25 years of experience, Champions is recognized for delivering extended learning programs that are tailored specifically to a school and our parents' needs. To speak on Champions programs in our area is today's guest, Max Madero. Max has worked 19 plus years in youth development, and he is currently the area manager for Champions in Pasadena and has served previous areas such as Houston and LaPorte. Max, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on, Mike.
My pleasure. Can you tell us a little bit about your program and what makes it different from just, say, some schools that are hosting an after-school program?
Sure. I'd love to be able to speak on what we do. So, in a nutshell, Champions Before and After School programs are programs that are administered on the site at the schools that we work with. So, for example, school dismissal, the bell rings, and Champions students already know to go to their school's respective gymnasium or cafeteria. And we basically set up a site daily, and we run an after school program there. And it encompasses a lot of neat initiatives. You know, we have your usual homework help and your STEM activities. What I'm really proud about Champions is that we don't shy away from the social injustice conversation that's going on within the nation. So for example, we've always had a great curriculum as far as activities. We've changed it to where it's now into the DEI space, or diversity, equity, and inclusion space. So let me give you a few examples. Starting with this year, back in February, we really leaned into our Black History Month, just making sure that kids were of all diverse backgrounds are aware of the activities that that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did. We also learned about athletes and different Black scientists, for example, that pioneered things in areas of science and technology and things like that. And not only did we do that for February, we did it for March as well. We did a Disability Awareness Month theme curriculum where we talk of just peers and just individuals that come from all backgrounds that do work or do have to deal with on the daily disabilities. And so we made sure to train our team before we instituted these activities because it is a sensitive topic. Just like all these are not easy topics to, you know, to have, but we feel that it's super necessary to talk about these subjects. In April and May, we touched on both Arab American Heritage Month, and this month we're finishing up on Asian American Pacific Islander Month. Specifically, all the political talking about the COVID-19 and the coronavirus, and how our brothers and sisters in the AAPI community are being targeted. Whereas other programs may want to shy away from that, we feel like we need to lean in because it's happening in the students' space and in the students' worldview. And so we feel that it's healthy to talk about these subjects and bring it down to a level that the students can understand and understand it in a way that's going to guide them towards being good people in general. And that's what we're trying to do at Champions.
I do want to commend you for not ignoring those social issues that are currently happening with social media, with TV, with even sometimes household discussions with the adults in the household. People have different opinions on you know, this particular period of time that we're living. And I think for young people, this is definitely going to be something that has some sort of influence on their childhood. So I think it's not a bad, you know, strategy to try to shy away from it, but also embrace it and put it in a manner in which kids could possibly understand. So I know, you know, you just mentioned the social aspect of, you know, the belongingness, and, you know, everybody has history and everybody has roots. What other services do Champion offer? And all your services are on the school campus, correct?
Correct. All of our services are on the school campus themselves. So for any families that feel that just, we take away that transportation piece so that we're not transporting anywhere. Mm-hmm. We're right there at the school, right there on site. And a few of the other services that we provide, we do have homework assistance where we, for all the students that do have homework assigned, we set aside a quiet space for them in the program and for students to get through their homework. We also have snack included. We either partner with the ISD that we're in, or we actually we bring in hot meals for the students, and that's all included. There's no extra charge. We are a fee-based service, but we do accept any subsidy, most subsidy that's out there. So that's an important part of the DEI space where we want to make sure that anyone, any family, either private pay or subsidy can come attend Champions. So in addition to that, we also make sure that there's physical play. That's super important. Me being a physical child growing up, I mean, I was always bouncing around. So if you got to give me a space to get my energy out. And so we make sure that we have spaces, either gyms or if weather permitting, we go outside. You know, in the 10 beautiful days that we have in Houston a year, we want to make sure we take advantage of those. And then I should have said from the outset, we are a state licensed program. So we're licensed by childcare licensing. So those are the minimum standards that come with a licensed program. We have to make sure that we take care of. And then we feel like on top of that, our homework assistance, all our interest area, student led activities that are at the sites every day, we feel that differentiates us from the school doing after school services themselves.
Okay. And you are a branch of the KinderCare program, is that correct?
Yeah. So KinderCare Education is our parent company. You may have seen a KinderCare Learning Center preschool, for example, with the red roof. That's a sister brand of ours. So if KinderCare Education is the umbrella, then there's Champions KinderCare Learning Center. We also have KCE at Work, the KinderCare Education at Work, where we partner with different corporate clients. So imagine going to imagine working for a large corporation where you have childcare on site, and that's done by KCE at Work, for example. So. And then we have different opportunity or different business partnerships out there as underneath the KinderCare Education brand. So our brand is specifically right underneath that KinderCare Education of working with the schools. We call them school partnerships for clients. We work with the clients so that we would provide that care before or after school care at the school level.
So y'all basically have a long history of working with youth. And I know KinderCare has been around for a very long time, so I think it's really neat to have an organization in the backing of an organization like that to offer after-school type programs. How were y'all able to continue to provide services despite the obstacles 20 and 21 due to COVID?
Sure. So at the time period, the beginning of the pandemic, really was the relationships we had with the clients, or with the principals in the schools. We needed to make sure that we not only met the needs of the children and the families, but that we talked to the principals in the school themselves and really the district leadership, to let them know what we were doing as far as observing health and safety practices. So for example, and I'm super proud of KCE or KinderCare Education Champions pushing this, Champions has an internal COVID-19 health and safety policy where we established our own practices that we feel lead in the industry. So in the beginning, obviously the obvious things are, you know, we're all masking up. We're all making sure that we clean the services daily and disinfect them. We're making sure that if there is a communal, whereas before For example, if you had a bin of crayons and a bin of markers and a bin of scissors, that we get Ziploc bags for all the students, pencil boxes, whatever we had at that time, and we just make sure we build individualized sets for each student. We have paper brown bags for everyone to put their mask in when they are at snack, things like that, to where we make sure that that we're socially distanced, that we're taking care of not only those around around us, but the families at home by observing these health and safety practices. I'm really also proud to mention that as the vaccine started rolling out, KCE as a whole, with Champions following, made it a point to say, all right, the vaccines are out. We're not requiring anyone at this time to vaccinate, but we will pay up to an hour per dose of vaccination for staff members to go get vaccinated. And I just felt super proud about that, just because, you know, you hear horror stories of, well, I don't get to leave my work, I don't get to leave my job, and here comes us as an employer saying, no, not only will we support that, we're paying you an hour to go get that done, per dose, per vaccination. And that just made me super proud, because that let me know that they're willing, that KCE was willing to go there as far as making sure that our students and families are safe, if our staff are safe or if our staff are vaccinated. Now, again, it's not a requirement, but we're incentivizing. I mean, you hear about the lottery in Ohio for vaccinations, right? we're making sure that our staff, we're doing weekly drawings. Whoever goes and gets vaccinated gets to wear, or gets to win earpods or even a plane ticket. I believe one of the gifts that we're incentivizing staff. But prizes aside, it was good to know that that was being supported in the health and safety space. So I think when you put all of that together, that's all good and well, but if your partnership, if the client, or if the principal didn't feel like you had it together, we would never be able to go into those schools. And so we actually did preschool year meetings with the ISD partners that we work with, and we presented our health and safety practices, but just as importantly, we wanted to know what the school districts were doing, what they were wanting us to do as far as taking temperatures, make sure that we log all that information. So I feel like that really helped us.
So y'all provided your services directly on the school campus, right? Y'all didn't do any remote or virtual services?
That's correct. We were actually on campus. Because we were on campus, we needed to not only follow the district's policies in every individual school, but they had to trust us that we were going to do what, because it's one thing if a principal says, teachers, this is what you're doing with health and safety, and us coming in as a partner, we wanted to make sure that the principal and leadership of the school understand, we're part of your team too. Whatever you want us to do as far as health and safety, here's our health and safety policy, but we'll follow whatever other policies you may have. That was a different, that's an extra layer, if you will, of making sure that they trust us enough to be on campus.
In your opinion, and I know you probably be a little bit biased because you're working in the after-school field, but what are the benefits and why is it important to have after-school programs available for kids, parents, and the school itself?
Sure. So yeah, I would be a little biased, but I think it's biased for good reason. So the benefits for kids of these programs is the obvious benefit is to have a safe place for a child to go. For working families who may not be able to pick up their child right after school. But I think a lot of the benefits, especially after a year like this, where a lot of our curriculum, even before the pandemic, but especially with our DEI curriculum, we touch on the socioeconomic piece of just group work and project-based learning with the students. And so being able to go to a space where all of the health and safety practices that I've already mentioned are being observed. And then on top of that, we have this DEI curriculum, the socioeconomic learning with our project-based learning. We're just ticking off so many boxes with that type of program for the kids. When we are able to tell that to the parent school, in fact, all the schools that we serve, except for a few, parents are not even allowed on campus. That's per ISD policy. And so, you know, as a partner, we have to abide by that. And so communication in the forms of flyers and pictures, and gosh, we've gotten so good with our texting, with our site phones, showing pictures of evidence of learning, or EOL, if you will, of all the curriculum that we're doing. It shows the parents that they're not just paying for a babysitting service. They're paying for a benefit for their kids to learn, to be able to explore whatever independent curiosities they have and collaborate on group projects. Some of our sites even do yoga, to be honest with you, and do dance and free play time. And so all of those things are done at the school, which is already a safe environment. So we feel like it benefits the kids and the parents, and for the school itself, for the partnership. We feel like we're such a strong partner that we have a specific magnet school that actually uses Champions as part of its recruitment strategy for students, because they say, because we're aligned with them on a lot of the priorities that they set forth in their school. They say, by the way, we have an on-site after-school program. It's called Champions, where they do daily activities. They do STEM learning skills that are strengthened for kids that need to succeed in the classroom and community. And we feel like that with all the schools, really. I mean, what a great way to tell your families who are looking for care. And we have a flyer up right at the front office. By the way, if you're looking for care, there's an on-site after-school program or before-school program at some schools where you don't have, there's no transportation, it's there. And then for the schools themselves, we try to be a partner in different ways, in different activities. For example, one of our schools had a donuts with dad or muffins with mom event, where we come in, and I've told our principals, if you need man and woman power to come in and decorate or come do this, that, and the other, we're volunteering our time to help with that. So for our clients or for our school partners, if you need anything done as far as community outreach, or if you want us to set a table or be able to speak in our program, we're so open to that. I mean, we've helped out over the past month. We've done different events at different schools, and so we just don't want to be an after-school provider. What we'd want to do is be a community partner for the schools. And so yes, we do offer after-school programs or before and after-school programs, but if you're asking about the benefits of the program for the school itself, we just want to be a partner. That's how big we feel that partnership is, because we want to be an extension of the school team. And so we try to do everything we can to make sure that that's a reality.
Well, and that's a great segue to my next question, which is basically, how do you envision your program or services will look like in the future? I mean, if we go back to, say, the last 20, 30 years, after school programs, you know, were very minimal. Kids either went to daycare centers or scouting or youth sports. But now after school programs is its own industry. And, you know, so there's sort of an evolution, and it's not just daycare. It's introducing, like you said earlier, in regards to some social issues that we're introducing to young people. So in your opinion, how do you envision Champions services will look like in the future?
I think you touched on it. And I think, again, maybe being a little bit biased, but the DEI aspect and the social injustice that's happening and the fact that we're leaning into it, I think it's a blueprint and a road to the future. And what I mean by that is, as we continue, DEI is not just it's not just a lesson, it's the way of life. It's a way that you constantly work on being diverse, being equitable, and including everyone. And inclusion doesn't just mean the color of your skin. Inclusion means your ability, whether your ability or any socioeconomic demographic you want to entail. And so being DEI driven and DEI aware means being able to provide programs for all and making sure that we encompass and touch on all those pieces. So things that we're doing, for example, like right now, we're gearing up for the summer, and how do we provide a program for the summer programs? Because remember, a lot of schools are closed during the summer. And so being able to lean into a relationship where a school not only is okay with running a summer program, but trusting us and telling their families, hey, if you need a space from 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., here's our summer program on site that we trust our partners, and that we trust that your children will have not only be safe, have fun in a safe and structured environment, but being able to touch on the STEM activities, the DEI activities that we talked about, having a meal provided. A few years ago, at this particular school even, we weren't doing that in a school setting. If you think of a summer camp program, you think of more of the traditional places where they have a pool, they have a rock climbing wall. And so we're having to be creative in our approach. How do you make a school environment like a cafeteria more appetizing for a family or appealing for a family to go register? Well, you decorate it into a camp space. Like literally, we're going to be turning our cafeteria, school cafeteria, and into a camping space with paper fire in a real tent and just decorating it. And then we'll be doing activities that, like creating our own theme park, our own roller coaster, and bringing in a projector, and maybe doing in-house field trips is what we call it in the industry. But bringing, instead of us going out to a field trip location, bringing a vendor in, whether it's balloons or even really the ones we're leaning are science driven. So like there's a reptile vendor that brings in and talks about the different reptiles and animals and biology in that sense. So I think that's the, especially where I guess we're getting more post pandemic, but we still want to make sure that we're taking care of our health and safety policies. So bringing vendors in is something that we're looking at. But I think that we're going to be really leaning towards the in-person versus remote learning. Like I said, this whole year has been a lot of remote learning and a lot of behind the screen kind of learning. And so we feel like not only is the pre-COVID, what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring that back, but adding those little pieces, those little players, and trying to innovate every day as far as just talking about the subjects that we talked about as far as DEI is concerned. To also include into that for the future, being able to provide our programs for all students to have access to it. It really is making families aware that there is subsidy money out there. With the new legislation that's come out, a lot of families don't know or probably assume, hey, I'm probably don't qualify based on my income for those programs. But what we're finding is that when we're talking to families to ask them to go ahead and seek that, seek those subsidy agencies out and see if you qualify, a lot of families actually do, and it helps them out in the bottom line with their family finances, and they can figure out, oh my gosh, I can only come 2 days a week, but now I can afford a full week of care because I went ahead and applied and got subsidy assistance for childcare.
Well, Max, thank you so much for being our guest on this edition of the Making It School Cool podcast. Are there any other thank yous or shout outs or any other thing you want to point out?
Well, no, I just want to thank Harris County Department of Education in Case for Kids for offering a podcast like this and just being a strong partnership for after school providers like us. When people talk a lot about education, you know, of course, you mentioned all the ISDs and one mentions even the private school educators. A lot of times the before and after school industry, they don't get included. And so initiatives like this do help in making that awareness grow with regards to the after school community. So just want to thank you for inviting me on and having a platform like this so that we can definitely grow awareness.
Oh, our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Making after school cool.
Thank you all for joining us for this edition of the Making After School Cool podcast, where our topic focused on Champions before and after school programs. I want to thank our guest, Max Madero, Area Manager of Champions in Pasadena and the Houston area. Please join us for future podcasts as we continue to explore issues relevant to the out-of-school time field.